Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
We're going to pray and be prepared to respond in your own hearts. Just bow your heads and just focus on the Lord and just that those words of healing and of hope. Of fear bowing down and chains being broken. Just for us that are gathered today, whether online or here, the Lord can see you. He knows you. You don't have to be in this room with us. Even later in a recording, if you're watching this, you are included by the Spirit of God Himself in this conversation and this prayer, and you just have to reach out to Him. And so, Lord God, we just bow before you, Lord. Lord, just to come and to give ourselves to you today. Lord, with no pretense, I hope, Lord, that we don't... We're not bargaining with you at this point. Lord, we're just submitting ourselves to you. And so if you just have a prayer need because of some fear in your life, nobody's watching you, nobody's looking at you, nobody's judging, just you don't have to raise your hand up high, but just acknowledge that that is you. If you have a need for healing in your life, whether it be with relationships or physical healing, just do the same. Just acknowledge to Him that you are willing to recognize that in your life. If you just have a challenge that you need help with, that you need perseverance through, just do the same. Just lift a hand. It's a great financial challenge for some people coming up in their lives, and so just acknowledge that and just submit that to the Lord. Some life changes and decisions that are coming, acknowledge that and just give that to the Lord. For those that have not even just given your lives to Him, that you don't know for sure that that you have done that wholeheartedly. Just acknowledge that you've been timid, that you've been reserved, that you've been holding back, and that you want to just fully give yourselves to Him this very moment. Just lift a hand for that as well. Why do we do this? Why do we offer ourselves to the Lord in this way? Because just as we sang to you, God, Jesus changes everything. So by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the blood of the Lamb that was slain for each and every one of us, even for the ones that don't know Him yet, I proclaim that these prayers have been heard by God Himself, that His Holy Spirit, His presence is here ministering to us. Somebody's really fearful about what the future holds for them. Do not fear. He did not give you a spirit of fear, of timidity, but He gave you that spirit of power to boldly move into the future. Because He is going before you. He's hemmed you in on either side. He goes before you and He comes behind you. You just follow. You just follow. Lord, we proclaim your name, Lord, that you are the Most High. Father, we want you to break into our lives. We are so thankful, Lord. We do cry out to you. We cry to you, Abba, Father, that you are the provider, Lord, that you are our all in all. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are the ultimate healer in all things. Lord, you are the one that we count on. Lord, we love you. We give thanks to you. We're so thankful for the resurrection. We're thankful for your life inside each and every one of us. And it's in your holy and powerful and precious name we pray. Amen. Lord, thank you for caring for us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for just letting us experience your all. Continue to minister to us in the name of Christ. All the people said, amen. Amen. So Ashley is out today. Children's pastor Ashley is out today, and as everybody on staff knows, she gave me a great list, so I don't make sure I don't forget anything that's hers. No kids live tonight here at the campus, but there is an event at Minchie's at 6:30 p.m., and so if you want free Minchie's, kids, not kids. you without children. Show up. Minchie's over there on 82nd Street. Be glad to do that and have you a part of that gathering. Just fun and fellowship. Just a time to kind of hang out and get to know one another and be a part of that. Also, you know that there's a 5K fun run coming up next week here. And that's part of the children's ministry as well. But it's not for just for children, actually. It's not for children. It's for everybody. It's in the community. We have community folks, runners. People just like to sign up for these things and come. If you want to do that, you don't have to run. You can walk it. I have a friend that says, who was in the military. He says, I don't run and I don't camp anymore. Do y'all get that joke? He says, if you see me running, you ought to be scared. So, but if you like to run, and if you just want to walk that 5K with your family or friends, it's a great time to do that next week. You get a t-shirt, register and sign up for that as well. And then finally, today we're taking up our last offering for the kids for their ministry outreach coming in May. And so I don't know who's doing that, but there are some buckets right here. If I could get some volunteers. Here comes Casey. She's going to help, and anybody else that wants to. Looks like she's about to recruit some people. Barrett's going to help. There's some more. So any chains that you have, any $5 bills that you have, any $100 bills that you have, they all fit in these buckets. Checks. If you want to, you can also, if you'll show the online giving, if you want to give online today for this your general tithe and your offering, or if you want to make it just for the kids, you can mark that. There's a way you can do that online. There's a pull-down menu, all sorts of things that you can give to there. You can do it that way as well if you don't have any of that stuff we call cash anymore. And then I want to pray just for our offering. Let those kids keep going. You can move around. It's not unholy to move during a prayer. I know some of you might think that, but it is not. All right, Lord God, thank you for your provision. Lord, thank you for the money that you give us. I know we go to work. Lord, and we have retirement. Lord, there's ways that we earn money. But Father, let us never forget that it always comes from you. Lord, that it is a gift. And Lord, that we are just stewards of the gift that you give us. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be good stewards of that gift. Lord, that we would give back to you what you call us to. And Lord, as we do, that you would bless that. Not just bless us, but Lord, that you would bless and multiply the offering. Lord, that it would grow, that it would reach an untold number of people in your holy name. Lord, that they would come to know you and your love. Lord, they would come to know your sacrifice. They would come to know your grace and your mercy through us. Lord, and so make it so, all in the name of Christ. Amen. All right, kids are dismissed for children's worship if they're ready. Are you ready?
So ready.
Y'all even wore matching t-shirts.
Yeah.
Now, I know it's not for that. What? Tell me what the matching... How about you tell everybody what the matching t-shirts are for?
Today is the Walk for Autism.
Walk for Autism.
We will be walking for Jacob.
And you're going to walk for Jacob today and his family. And so glad y'all are doing that. Even the kids are not quite as excited about children's worship today. They're just kind of like... They're just kind of walking in there, like really, there was one excited, there goes one. Well, I hope you did have a great Resurrection Sunday last week. It was a fantastic weekend here with Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and all the great things that went on. Thank you to all of the volunteers who made all of that happen, and to the worship team, Dallas and Ashley and everybody. Again, they work extra hard and extra long on those weekends. Dallas, did you get some sleep?
A little bit.
And Levi, I know he got some sleep. I already talked to him. They were up for more than 24 hours straight on Saturday night and Sunday, so they had a lot going on to make all this look as fabulous as it does. It does really look cool. Today, for the sermon, is talk about who we are in Christ as far as what the resurrection means to us. If you want the sermon notes today, you can text notes to that telephone number right there, and you will get those. At the bottom of those notes, I have failed to say this every week, there are three links, and those links are for you to use as you would like. One of them is, if you're trying to figure out what's going on in the church, there's a link for that. There's a prayer request link at the bottom of that. If you want to submit your prayer request to us, we have teams during the week that pray over those and for those. And then finally, there's a link if you're trying to figure out how to give online and you hadn't been able to figure that out yet. There's a link that explains how to do that as well. And so if you don't like that one, you can scan that QR code so much easier, and it does the exact same thing. It'll take you to those. So today, to talk about what the resurrection means and what it means for us specifically, I want to read out of 1 Corinthians 15, 17 through 19. In Sunday school class, I didn't do very well on my references today. They're going to laugh at me because I'm going to confess to you in case I did it here. I put passages of Scripture that don't exist. I said there were 24 chapters in Revelation. There are not. I said that Paul wrote Revelation. He did not. It was John. And there's just all sorts of things. And so I'm having the week after Easter too. And so hopefully everything is correct. If it's not, shout it out. And I do want to correct it for the notes before the whole world sees those over the next 10, 1500 years, and they're like, God, that pastor has no idea what he's talking about. So 1 Corinthians 15, 17 through 19. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Those also who have fallen asleep in Christ will have perished. If we have hope in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. Wow, that's a strong statement, isn't it? That's a great understanding. Either the resurrection happened or it didn't. And if it did, there's one thing. And if it didn't, it's totally another. So for us, we have to make the choice. We have to make the decision. We have to have the belief and the understanding that the belief and the faith that we have actually means something. And it's a powerful meaning. Because a lot of people can look at Easter and they can look at the resurrection in one of two ways. It was either a phenomenon in nature that took place, right? Something that just happened in history and we just moved on. Or it was something that happened not just in history, but happened in all of creation from a force that was not natural. Okay? And so it really matters to us, because I think a lot of people can look at the resurrection and say, well, yes, we can talk about life after death and there's newness and there's restoration and there's all of these things, because in nature that just happens. Okay? And so if a forest burns down, things are going to start growing again eventually, right? And it's the circle of life. I'm just going to leave it at that. But here's what I have to say about nature. In living nature, in like heartbeat nature, not plants, but in things that are actually living and have breath and have life, that kind of nature, that's a cruel nature. That nature is, I mean, we know, we are taught that the strongest of the species survive, right? The strong prey on the weak, and they prey on the weak until the weak don't exist anymore. I mean, we see this all of the time until they are extinct. I mean, the strong are the only ones that outlast. That kind of nature is chaos. That kind of nature is spiraling into more and more disorder over and over and over again. And it's been happening all ever since the beginning of time. And so that kind of nature doesn't speak to the resurrection at all. What we have to do is, when we see in the resurrection, we have to see that there's an outside force. There's an influence in nature. There's an influence in creation that changed everything. 100% changed everything. Because if you're just going to talk about nature and this thing that may or may not have happened in Christ, and maybe it could happen in somebody else, all the other different religions about the things that take place, here's what I want you to do, is I want you to go try to give somebody hope based on that explanation who has no hope. I want you to go talk to someone that has been experiencing death and destruction, maybe just decay in their life. I want you to go talk to someone that's living under dictators, and their world is being devastated by war and by famine, by drought, all the different things, and say, well, nature will take care of you. I just want you to see how that conversation goes. I want you to just see how the lack of hope that they have is not restored because of your fantastic conversation about how nature is going to take care of them. Because nature is not going to take care of them. Nature is going to continue to eat away at all of our lives until our lives are gone. Aren't you glad you showed up to hear about the resurrection? See, we have to look at beyond that and look at how Jesus himself, how God himself in Christ Jesus, one and the same, how that is an outside force. That was an outside influence on all of us. What Paul is trying to say in the doctrine of Easter, in the real biblical doctrine of Easter, is because Christ was physically, you're going to hear me probably say bodily every once in a while, bodily raised from the dead. That's how we talk about it in the theology world, not just spiritually, but his body was raised from the dead. Nature can't do that. Only an outside force can do that. And that is where God comes in. That's where this idea of the resurrection matters to all of us. Because nature has never raised anybody from the dead. Nature, I mean, I know we have fantastical stories and philosophies, and we have mythology, and we have the phoenix rising from the fiery ashes, all these great things, and he was better and badder and everything than he was before. That doesn't really exist in nature. And so for us, as people of the resurrection, we do have hope because of the resurrection. We have hope in the world because of the resurrection. We have hope in our families. We have hope in our finances. We have hope in eternity because of that. Because as you just saying, Jesus changes everything. And notice that I'm so glad that the writer did it this way. I hope that he had great theology in mind. He did it in present tense. And he did it in future tense, not just past tense. It's not that he just changed everything. It's a living change. It's a living hope. He changes today, and he will change tomorrow, all of us, if we just keep continuing to follow him. Because if Christ was not raised from the dead, then we have no hope. If Christ was not raised from the dead, then really Christianity, I mean, everything that we believe, I'm just going to put it that easy. All of the hope that you have, everything that I have staked my life on and that you have staked your life on, really hinges on the resurrection of Jesus. Everything. You can go back to the healings. You can go back to the feeding of the 5,000. You can go back to Moses and Abraham and Esther and Rahab. You can go back to Mary and Martha. You can go back to Adam and Eve. Everything, all that is great and all that is good and all that is true and all that is factual and all that's a part of history. But without the resurrection, it means absolutely nothing. It's just a part of history. And we should just all go to brunch right now, right? I mean, seriously, if we don't believe in the resurrection, then we have no reason to be here. It is either or. It is not a both and. Either he rose from the dead or he did not. Either his physical body got up out of the grave or he did not. And that's what all Paul is talking about. He says this: if Christ was raised, then everything about history, not just our view of history, but everything about history is different. We look at our neighbors differently. We look at our marriages differently. We look at our friends and family. We look at war. We look at everything. all the things that are going on, we look at them differently because of the resurrection. And if you don't, then you really have no hope in Christ. Because look at verse 19. They said, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. How many of you want to claim that your faith is worth something? And if you do, then you have to believe in the resurrection. You have to believe in the physical resurrection of Christ. There's a church historian. His name's, I really can't pronounce his name, so I'm just going to show it to you. I have no idea how to say that name. I could slaughter it. But Jaroslav Pelikan, is that good enough? Okay. What does he say? He says, if Jesus has not risen from the dead, nothing else matters. If Jesus has risen from the dead, nothing else matters. You know when he said this? While he was on his deathbed. That's somebody that's staking his whole life. He's staking what is about to happen to him on the resurrection. And it's true. Okay? What does it say? If Jesus is not risen from the dead, then nothing else matters. Okay? If Jesus was not physically raised, if the resurrection that we celebrated last Sunday didn't really happen, then nothing we do matters. Okay? We're just going to live this life and we're going to die and okay. We're going to be stuck in our sins. We're going to be stuck in our unforgiveness. We're going to have hurt and we're going to have heartache. All of these things are going to happen and nothing else matters. But if he is raised from the dead, then nothing else matters, okay? Because he's going to take care of it, all of it, for us. So how do we proceed? That's where I wanted to go today. Why does this matter? How do we proceed? Because how do we proceed comes to this. For what I've received, this is how he starts this passage of Scripture, right? This is how Paul starts the chapter. He says, for what I have received, I passed on to you, that Christ died. Thought that was about to happen to me right then. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day. And he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers of 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom were who are still living. Let me say that again a little more clearly. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep or have died. Then he appeared to James, to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. There's so much to unpack there, and I'm not even going to touch most of it today. But this whole idea, you're wanting to know what does abnormally born mean? Well, that just means that he was not born into the faith. He was not born into a family that knew God or Christ. And so he was talking about he was lost. And so you can just take that and put it away. What is this about? I love this. He says, Christ appeared to more than 500. I'm not going to get into that either. I'm going to save that for another day, literally. I already have it planned. We're going to talk about this, but he's saying that, look, we're not just making this up. He goes, there are people that are still living. When he wrote this, there are people that are still living that saw Jesus, not just the apostles, not just the 12, not just that family, but 500 others in the community and in the neighborhoods and in the region that he appeared to and talked to. They saw him. Go talk to them. Don't believe the church. Go talk to all these other people that saw him. Because what good would it have done if just the 12, if just the pastor said, yeah, Jesus is alive, I saw him. And none of the rest of you did. See, that doesn't do any good. So it was important for that. This whole idea, this resurrection, he's trying to show here that for them even, it was factual, it was truthful, it was a part of history, it really happened. How can we prove it today? He was talking about those 500 are not still alive, by the way. Amen. If they are, wow. But they're not. So how can we prove it? How can I prove to you that the resurrection really happened? How can I prove to you that Jesus is alive? Because of you. That's how I can prove it. Because I know your stories. You know your stories. You know how Christ has moved in your life. You are, y'all know what a billboard is, right? It's an advertisement to show something. You all are billboards. You all are advertisements of the risen Christ. Your lives, Your lives tell something. Your lives show something. Your lives mean something. And you are a walking advertisement for Jesus. Good, bad, or indifferent. What are you advertising for him? How are you portraying the resurrection today? How are you showing others the resurrection? You are the announcement that Jesus rose from the dead. I am not some philosophical essay, okay? I'm not some esoterical idea that's just floating around out there and walking through life. I'm living testimony that Jesus rose from the dead. If you experienced worship just a minute ago and that I am not, Dallas knows this, usually I just cringe at quiet, reflective times. Is anybody with me?
Yep.
Oh my gosh. I'm not even going to get into it. We heard an app that's kind of a meditative app, and the music in it and the woman's voice is so soothing and soft-spoken, and she talks about the scripture, and there's this music playing in the background that's so meditative, and it's supposed to relax you, and it's supposed to let you focus on God, and all I want to do is go screaming into the night when I hear it. Like, this is not helping me at all. But the presence of the Lord a minute ago, at least for me, I don't know about all of you, that was awesome. Just to be quiet and sit still in his presence and to know that he is with us and that he loves us and that he's ministering to us and that he's talking to me and he's talking to you. He's saying that he's with us and that he's here for us and that he's leading us and not to be fearful. That all of that, that's how I know he lives. Because a dead God doesn't do that. A dead God doesn't speak. A dead God doesn't heal. A dead God doesn't free. I know that he lives because of you and because of me. And so when you see that and when you hear that, I just want to answer this question for you. I want you to ask it of yourself. How do you know? How do you know that the resurrection mattered in your life, that your sins are forgiven, and that you are saved? How do you know? Some of you might be asking that question. Because I heard this, the question one time, there's no way to know until it's too late that you knew or didn't know, right? I mean, how do you know until you die? Well, see, do y'all remember, it's back in the 80s and the 90s, you have to be kind of a car person or an engine person. Do y'all remember the additive that you put in your oil called Slick 50? Anybody ever know this? Some people did. You're like, Slick 50 was supposed to help your engine last twice as long. How do you know that it worked? Well, yes, you have to use it. Amen. But secondly, well, I mean, I could easily say, well, it lasted twice as long as that it was going to if you used it. Yeah, but I only got 100,000 miles on it. Well, it was going to die at 50,000. Now you got 100,000. But I got 200,000. Well, your engine was going to last till 100,000. Now you got 200,000. See, you don't really know that it works until it worked, right? How do you know that you're saved until it's too late to know that you're not? Some of y'all are scared. How do you know that you're saved? Because it's rare that Paul would ever talk about salvation without talking about the death of Christ. He would not talk about the resurrection without talking about the crucifixion. Right? He would not talk about him being raised to new life without saying he was raised from what? Death. We don't put live, living people in tombs. We don't bury people that are alive. He talked about this over and over and over again. So here's what I want to tell you today. That think about it this way. When you pay for something, now these days it's different, but my theory is still the same. The analogy is still the same. When you pay for something at the store, what do they ask you if you want now?
A receipt.
Do you want a receipt? Yes, I want a receipt. Why do you want a receipt?
To prove
that it's paid for, to prove that it's yours, to prove that you don't owe anything. See, the resurrection is the receipt. The resurrection is the proof The resurrection is the proof that you don't owe anything. The resurrection is the proof that Jesus died for you. Because here's the deal, is that Jesus died, but he died for our sins. What's the cost of sin? Death. Scripture says over and over, for the wages of sin is death. For us to be sinful who we are in our lives, then we have to die for those sins. We have to sacrifice for those sins. That's just life. That's what God said. When you sin, you have to sacrifice. So they kept sacrificing these animals over and over and over again and all these things. And there had to be blood that had to be shed for the sins. And that just went on and on and on. And so for us, if we don't have a sacrifice, then we are going to die and we are going to be the sacrifice. But Jesus says, no, I'm going to die for you. I'm going to die in your place. And when he defeated death, see, when we die, we don't come back, right? And even for all those that he raised from the dead, I said this last week, they went on to die, but Jesus lived forever. See, he has the receipt to death. He has the receipt for salvation. He has the receipt because he said, you are paid in full. I've taken care of everything for you. I've taken care of all of it. It wasn't the death of Christ that transformed the disciples. It wasn't the death of Christ that mattered in the healings of people. It wasn't the death of Christ that mattered for you and me. It was the resurrection. Because I can die. I don't want to die on a cross, and I don't want you to die on a cross, but you can. And that's what would happen if Jesus didn't. In some weird way, we would be sacrificed. Even in our natural death, if we don't know Jesus, our natural death is a sacrifice for sin. But in Christ Jesus, he paid for it all, and so we get to live with him. See, salvation and forgiveness did not come through the death of Jesus. This is why the resurrection matters for you. Forgiveness and salvation came through the resurrection. It's not the death. It's the resurrection. It's not the sacrifice. It's the overcoming. It's not the burial. It's the living. It's the raising. We are paid for. You have to know. This is the only way you can know. You know that you are saved because you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and you ask forgiveness for your sins and you repent and you believe in the resurrection. You can do the first two, and if you don't believe in the resurrection, you're done. You have to believe in the resurrection because that's where it all matters for all of us. And so I want you to think of it this way. There was I don't do illustrations a lot and stories from old timers and history and all that, but this one, I love this one. Reuben Torrey, way back when, back in the early 1900s, he was a pastor, but he was also a mountain climber. And he had talked about this idea of the resurrection. He had talked about this idea of 1 Corinthians 5:21 that says this, "For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." Adam was the one that caused the sin to start happening. But in Christ, the cycle of death and sin stops. He's a mountain climber, and the very next week he was on a mountain climbing expedition with two different teams, and he was behind the first team. And so there were five climbers that were tethered together like climbers do, they were all in a line. He was in the next group, and they were back behind them, and they were five climbers, and they were tethered all together, and they were climbing this great mountain. And when I say mountain climb, I'm not talking Palo Duro. Okay, I'm not talking Lubbock, West Texas hills. Okay, I'm talking real mountains. Not like as big as Everest, but where you have axes and you have the spikes in your shoes and you have the ropes and you have the hooks and you're driving things into the side of the mountain. Real mountain climbing. As they were going, the first five in front of them, they were going up and they were all on the side of a rock face. Okay, and the first the top guy, boy, he was pounding in the anchors, and he had his pickaxe, and he was doing all the things, and everybody behind him was just following along. They were doing their thing, but the bottom guy, okay, he slipped, he lost his footing, and he started to free fall. And when he started falling, he yanked the next guy. He wasn't tied in well enough. He started falling. and the next one. And then now, the fourth guy, he's tied in pretty good. He's pretty well got his footing, and he's hooked in pretty good. But the weight of three other men pulled him out. And they're far enough apart, and that they have enough rope that the top guy, he sees it all happening. Man, and he throws his axe in. There's all these five other guys watching. They're their friends. They just know they're all gonna fall to their death. But the top guy, he digs his axe in. He digs his heels in as hard and as fast as he can because he knows it's coming. And it did. Suddenly, there's that jerk and there's that snap of the rope pulling down on him. And he's holding on with all of his might. They're all down here praying and just doing nothing. They can't do anything but pray. They're scared. They know that they have families and all the things that are happening. And the top guy, he's just holding on as tight as he can. And then after he sits there for a minute, just imagine, I don't know. I'm 150 pounds. 175, 200. Think about their gear that they've got on. They got backpacks, they got ropes, they got all the stuff. So just imagine if there's four, let's just say it's an average of 200. That guy's got 800 pounds pulling on him, and he's holding on to that. He's holding on to his axe, and he's holding on to those anchors. And he knows that it's up to him. And so he starts pulling with all of his might. His ribs are breaking. His arms are straining. It's that rope is so tight, it's constricting his lungs, and it's hard for him to breathe, and he's pulling, and he finally gets to a place. He's pulling 800 pounds, four other men with him, and he gets to a ledge where he can finally pull them, and he gets the first one up to back to the ledge, and he can hook in, and he can pull, and they get them all up to the top. And Reuben Torrey says this. He says, the guy that slipped is like Adam. The guy that slipped was the first human, and he pulled us all down one by one with our sin. But the last guy, he was Jesus, and he's the only one. Everybody else is dangling by a rope over a canyon of sin and death, and surely we're all going to die. And Jesus says, nope, and he pulls us all up. See, that's what the resurrection is. He bore the weight. He bore our sins. He bore our sickness and our illness. He bore everything about us. All of us. Good, bad, and indifferent. Because we're dangling and we're hopeless. We have nothing. We don't even have anything to grab onto to try to save ourselves. We think we do. We think we're strong enough, but we're not. That's what we need today. Because of the resurrection, you can grab hold of the one that can pull us up. You can grab hold of the one that saves us. You can grab hold of the one. If you're sad and you're looking for consolation, he's the one you go to. If you're looking for love, he's the one you go to. If you're looking for restoration, he's the one you go to. If you're in depression and you need help out of that, he's the one that you go to give you answers and guidance. If you're sick and if you have lack of joy and you're unhappy and you need salvation, if you're in addiction, if you're in a bad marriage and if things aren't good and you're chill, I mean, all these things, if you need a job, if you need money, it just goes on and on and on. There's only one, and he's holding on to us. That's the resurrection. That's why it means something. It's not this pie in the sky, oh, he's alive, you know, and we celebrate Easter, and then we all go home. No, it happens today, and it happens tomorrow, and it happens for all the days to come. If you want to gain your footing, if you want to do all the things that we just sang about, then he's the one we grab hold of in the resurrection because he's alive. You have to be united to the one, the only one that can raise us up. And so for me, in Revelation chapter 21, Lonnie, not chapter 24. In Revelation chapter 21, it says, he who is seated on the throne said this. And then he said, write these words down, for they are trustworthy and true. He says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To those that are thirsty, I will give water from the wellspring of life, and I'll give it to you without cost. All that sounds great. It means you have free salvation. It means that he'll quench every desire and everything that goes on in your life. He'll give you eternal life. He says it's true. He says he started this and he will end this. But here's the best part about it all for me. He who is seated on the throne said this. He who is seated on the throne. God himself. Not me, not Reuben Torrey, not you, Jesus. He's got it all. Boy, that gives me great comfort. I do have a Superman cape in my office. If you ever want to borrow it, come to me. I'll let you borrow it. But I am not Superman. I don't have an S on my chest. I am not a savior. I count on the one who is seated on the throne and who lives inside of me, because I am proof of the resurrection. And you are proof of the resurrection. And it really matters. It really does matter, because for all of us, the meaning of the resurrection is life, eternal life, life today and life tomorrow, not just when we die. You know, we talked about this past summer, but for today. So I just want to pray for you one more time, and if you want to come up and you want to be prayed for, we got the little pads over here you can kneel down on and be glad to pray for you. Just come right here, and I'll lay hands on you, and even if you know that you know that you know, you're like, man, I know I've been holding on to the guy that's got me forever. I've been holding on to the Savior, but I just need a boost. I just need a little push. Then come. I'd love to pray for you. Lord God, for all of us, we need you. Lord, we stand in great need of a Savior. Lord, we are just hanging out in midair, with no footing without you. Father, we are tied to you. We are connected to you. Lord, there's a lot of people that they're free falling and they need to grab hold of the rope, because you have got them. But yet their arms are just flailing about in the air, thinking that they can save themselves. They can't. I can't. So, Lord, show us. Some of us need to know you're alive. Lord, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that the power that parted the Red Seas, Lord, the power that brought water out of a rock, Lord, the power that brought you back to life, Lord, would be revealed to them. Lord, that you would come alive to them in their own mind, in their own heart. They would recognize you. Lord, for our children, oh Lord, I pray for our children, no matter their age. I see a dad holding a baby back there, and I think about our kids in school and in high school and college, Lord, our adult children, Lord, we're all a child of somebody, Lord. I pray for our children, Lord, that they would not let go of that rope by which you hold them. Lord, that they would cling to you all the days of their life. Lord, even when that big yank comes, when they're falling at some point, Lord, that they would know that you have got them and they can count on you, that you will never leave them or forsake them. For us in this room, that you will never leave us or forsake us. For those online, that he will never leave you or forsake you. And that, Lord, that you will pull us to eternal life. In the name of Christ, all the people said, amen and amen. If you want to come to
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.